This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, full peek behind the curtain, because if you hung through that break, I feel like you deserve to know why that break felt like it was 9 or 10 minutes long. We had a bit of a power issue out here that has been resolved by our excellent engineer on site, Matt Irvin, and we just need a little extra time to get it resolved. So good job by him. Good job by you hanging through the break, and we're going to make it well worth your while, Seth.
Well, and just so you guys know that we're team players, and we understand the truly important things. Turns out the football team needed the power to for their cameras.
Yeah.
So he said, all right, you know, things being what they are, we should probably just go ahead and let the Texans.
We did. We stepped aside.
Let the football people do what they need to do to actually practice today.
Yeah. Yep.
I would have loved if you just go over there and dress D'Amico down. Say, listen, Buster, I don't know who you think you are, but we have a radio show to do.
There was part of me, I'm like, they need the cameras now? There's nobody out here on the practice field. And Matt's like, yeah they need the cameras now.
They need them now. And it reminds me of when I was in, remember when I did the pregame for the Bills game in Buffalo?
Yeah.
I was up in one of the booths up there, which was right next door to the Texans booth.
Yeah.
And at some point, somebody ducked his head in and said, hey, Seth, coaches next door said you're, it's kind of hard to
concentrate
when you're being so loud. So I went on to do the worst pregame show ever because I was like, oh, no, I don't want to screw up the team.
I think the keys to victory today are to not, for one, don't let them score 48 points at the beginning of the third quarter, which they will eventually do.
But it was that game where there was that huge downpour.
Yeah, well, that was the David Culley year. I mean, could they blame you for getting that excited about the David Culley product that was on the field?
They should have been like, wow, Seth's really bringing it.
He's into it. He's into it.
I can't believe it. He's bringing that kind of energy and we suck.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, let's circle back to training camp here. Aziz Alshire met with the media yesterday. Also did an interview with the guys on In the Loop that was really, really good. If you can go back and you can find that on the Odyssey app on the In the Loop podcast. This was from his press conference, though. I thought this was cool. Look, Aziz is a guy who, you know, I believe undrafted back in the day. Like, he is a self-made guy when it comes to becoming the player he's become. This was a cool story. He and Henry Toa were in Hawaii a year ago when Stingley and Stingley's dad were doing that kind of DB summit that they do every year where they get the DBs together to do coverage things and whatnot. They happen to be on the same island. Aziz got wind of that and said, hey, man, I want to go to that next time. I think this year they did it in Puerto Rico. So this is Aziz telling that story. But I thought this was cool, and it gives you the insight into what kind of player Aziz Alshire is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of both. You know, I think when Sting did it in Hawaii last year, me and Henry were actually just in Hawaii at the same time. So me and him were training together. And I'm like, man, Sting and them are in the same island as us. They're just on the other side. So I told Sting and his dad when I seen him during the season last year that I wanted to make sure that I came out there. Because it is, like, I mean, you're talking about obviously one of the best corners in the league now. And then all the other guys that were there as well, you know, just learning from guys who have to cover all day, just like I learned from the D-line who have to rush all day. As a linebacker, you got to do both. So it doesn't hurt to sharpen your tools.
I don't know if Azeez El-Shaair Seth is ever going to become a great coverage linebacker, but the mere fact that he's got the self-awareness to go, and I think it's kind of creative too, to go, you know what, I'm going to go do some workouts with some DBs to work on the coverage, because that was an Achilles heel for this team last year, was tight end coverage, things like that over the middle of the field.
You know, the big thing from off-ball linebacker, middle linebackers, the big thing for middle linebackers is it's not as much, hey, can you track a guy, you know, step for step downfield? It's awesome if you can, but those are rare. You know, Fred Warner being able to just cover tight ends down the seam and all of that, it's rare, and that requires a certain physical skill set. For most of them, a lot of it is, it's two things. It's one, recognizing play action and those keys. So understanding, okay, wait, no, this is a pass, even though it looks like run and vice versa. And then the angles and anticipating routes so you can get in passing lanes, so you can rough guys up before they make their break, all those kinds of things. It's very much a mental thing. So I am intrigued by Azeez working with defensive backs where, you know, a guy like Derek Stingley, one of the things that makes him so good is him being able to read the body language of a wide receiver.
Yes.
That when he had that pick, his first pick in the Dolphins game, he did a really good breakdown. I think it was with John Harris when they had him on, about just Tyreek Hill and the way he runs his routes. And it's a little bit unorthodox in some ways. And by the time they got down into the red zone, it was a situation where there was no safety help over the top.
Mm-mm.
And Stingley just flat out going on him, understanding Tyreek Hill's body language, jumped that route in a way that if he was wrong, it was an easy touchdown for Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
But he could just tell, and he knew. So all of those little nuances, they really help for linebackers too, especially when you're kind of more of an old school run stuff and middle linebacker. You got to get really good at picking up on those little nuances of route running to just get in lanes, anticipate routes, and all those things. So I like it. I like it. It also, I feel like the NFL has become kind of like the movie version of the NFL. That when back in the day, you might watch a movie and like, oh yeah, these guys are flung out all over they're working out in Hawaii or Puerto Rico, or and CJ worked out in, was it France or Italy with some guys this year when he was off on vacation.
Yeah,
like, it's cool that they're living this jet set lifestyle, and yet at the same time actually probably doing more work than we did back in the day.
Diggs was in France last year. I don't know if that's what you might be thinking of, but
no, it was we remember CJ did that tour of the soccer club this year.
I think that was Italy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I want to say he got together with somebody who was doing some workouts somewhere also. That's while
tremendous.
He was over there.
Yeah, I was
maybe I might be conflating that with somebody else's story.
I would, you
my
know
point
what?
Is it happens.
Yeah, yeah, no, but these guys all, like, you know CJ getting the guys together for workouts in California. You know, Azeez just sitting there talking about, like, yeah, Henry and I were working out in Hawaii and Stingley happened to be there. And then you got Will. Yeah. You got Will working out with Myles Garrett in the offseason. There's a lot of cool workout stories.
I think, honestly, this is where, as much as you might rail against social media or texting or anything else like that, social media and texting have been really good for the development of athletes. Mm-hmm. In that, one, coordinating stuff like that is just without group texts and things like that, it's just way more difficult and cumbersome back in the day.
Yeah.
And then because of social media, like when I watch pass rushers, I'd say partly because of social media, because of things like YouTube, I think, and how available video is in general. Mm-hmm. Pass rushing is almost a completely different art than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Guys are just so much more advanced and they understand so much more. They talk about things that I'd never even heard before 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like shin angle and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, yeah, sure, shin angle. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
No, it's like it's football's answer to spin rate, you know, like it's
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They break everything down anatomically and everything. There's moves that people are using a euro step. We barely knew Europe even existed when I was a football player.
That's right. Back you were just me get quarterback, me get quarterback, me get
Europe. I don't need to know about Europe. I'm an American. What do you think? Are you a commie? Ain't that where they these commies?
That's right, man. All right, here's more Aziz. I had forgotten about, you know, Nick Cayley has, is it FIU or FAU that Aziz went to? I forget, one of the Floridas, but Nick Cayley.
It was the Fashion Institute of Technology okay. in Manhattan, it was not.
It was, but Cayley, I'll look it up during while we play this cut, but Cayley was actually at that school while Aziz was getting recruited. They never actually crossed paths there, but they actually formed a relationship that endured beyond just Cayley moving on to his next stop after that. This was a cool anecdote from Aziz Alshire yesterday.
Nick Cayley is literally somebody who's known me from the time I was a 16-year-old homeless kid. He's been to my motel that I lived in to now, you know, for both of us to be in the position that we're in, you know, literally 10 years later, I'm 27 now. It's just crazy, you know, because we kept up with each other. He actually never coached me at FAU. He left. As soon as my class signed, he ended up leaving to go to the NFL right away. But he literally called me and talked to me all the time from that point forward. And you would have thought he coached me for all those years. And we never actually even coached and played together. But we always had a really close relationship, and he always kept up with me. So I'm grateful to have him here. And, you know, he's just an old friend that just reminds me of how far I've come as well.
FAU is what it was. You heard him say that in that cut right there, Florida Atlantic University. That's I just thought that given Aziz's upbringing, especially, I mean, he mentioned it there. He was homeless at one point. That Cayley, who moved on, you know, eventually moved on to the NFL. I'm not sure if it was right after that or not.
It was. It was, because my first thought was like,
trying to poach you.
Good for Cayley. Cayley was out there on the sly trying to, trying to poach him from somewhere else.
They used to call Cayley old transfer portal Cayley back in the day.
He went to the Patriots immediately after Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
So he was genuinely just keeping up. Aside from no NCAA recruiting violations, he was also just keeping up with Aziz. Aziz's story is really cool. I mean, he was, like you said, at the point he was living in a motel while Cayley was recruiting him. Mm-hmm. And I had flashbacks to what it's like is – when you're in a situation like that and you're a kid, you're trying to play football and go to school and everything, and everything is just in turmoil. It's really impressive that Aziz just was able to stay on the path that he was on. And he was undrafted in a year where, remember, too, they had Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, who were draft picks in San Francisco that were gonna, you know, be the guys. And he really had to fight and scrap to get playing time and learn about, like, come up the hard way in a lot of ways. He plays like he hasn't forgotten that.
Yep. Here was Aziz Alshire. One more from him. This is just a great – Aziz is a good storyteller. This was Aziz Alshire when he was asked about his teammate, Danielle Hunter.
Man, I've played with – guys that, I mean, like, even like Nick Bosa was like a freak, but that guy is like fast. Like, Danielle Hunter is fast. He might be faster than most of the guys on our team. I think we were in practice during the season last year, and we tried to install some play. Long story short, Danielle Hunter was covering somebody down the middle of the field, down the sideline, excuse me, and he's running stride for stride with Joe Mixon. And he's sprinting, just, mind you, he's in a 3-point stance. And runs from a 3-point stance facing this way, and Joe's running a wheel route out the backfield and covers Joe all the way down the field and gets a pass break. Like, and my mom is like, dang, well, like, you don't even need that speed. Like, so, I mean, he's somebody who definitely is special, and he's my locker mate. So I don't know if anything that he'll teach me can make me look like him, but, you know, I'm just trying to get all the little nuggets from him that I can.
Okay. I thought it was funny that he said, you know, I don't know if I can look like him. Aziz was up there yesterday just wearing his sleeveless workout gear. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
He does not skip a shoulder day.
He
has never missed a shoulder raise in his life, I don't think.
No. Seth, can you imagine the visual of Danielle Hunter running stride for stride with Joe Mixon on a wheel route down the sideline?
I can, because, you know, he used to do that sometimes, and it was usually in pursuit where you'd be impressed with his speed, was Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney would hawk dudes downfield, and he'd be running. Remember, he'd be running pace for pace sometimes with defensive backs and wide receivers. But Danielle's a more a fluid athlete. Like he's just a more like he's a more pliable guy, a more bendy guy than Jadeveon Clowney.
He's freakier looking than Clowney. And Clowney's a freak, don't get me wrong, but Clowney's very top heavy. He's got that upper body, and he's got kind of skinnier legs. Like Daniil looks like he was built in a lab.
That's where that was the one that people were kind of gawking at this year, was when Daniil Hunter said that he had gained a few pounds of muscle, and you're like, where exactly? Like, how'd you do that? You came to be. I'm guessing it was just in his legs, just because that's something. Sometimes guys, I don't want to say neglect, but they underestimate just like how much they can do with their legs while still playing football, and you discover it later, and that helps you age better.
That's bad news for the rest of the league, man.
Yeah.
If Daniil Hunter is finding ways to further maximize the God-given gifts that he's got, that's bad news for the rest of the league.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll tell you, it's just a story. That's honestly one of the biggest things that changed in my career was I was in my, I think, fourth year in the NFL. And just midway through the season, I wasn't happy with the way I was playing. And one day, we were in a weight room environment where the strength coach you only squat a certain amount during the week. You didn't want to, guys get tired. So he's like, all right, we just want to get you to squat and not go too heavy. And I was like, screw it. And I just went in and I just started doing like pretty much maxing out on squat in the middle of the season, 10, 11 games into the season. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, I'm like, I just started blowing people off the ball in games. And I'm looking around like, why are people not doing this more? And it's the answer is because it sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to like practice that day and everything. But that was one thing that like for the remainder of my career, I was lucky enough to, when I got to Houston, Dan Riley, the strength coach, was adamant about lifting your legs heavy during the season. On Monday, you got to fight through it and lift your legs heavy. And I was a completely different football player because of it. So I hope that Daniil Hunter maybe tweaked something with his leg workout.
It flipped that quick for you, huh? Like,
oh yeah. Which is, I know that it's the advice I give to football players that I think is probably almost never taken. It's that you have to find a way to lift your legs really heavy during the season.
Yeah.
And you can come up with all kinds of excuses why you shouldn't. It's like by the end of the year, it's like you're on steroids, especially in a 16-game season back in the day, or a 17-game season now. The vast majority of guys in the league have come up with reasons why they shouldn't be, lifting their legs all that heavy during the season. So you end up with a huge strength advantage.
I think,
but
you
it
know,
sucks.
The most interesting part about that story to me is that two things. One, you stumbled upon it. Like you were playing poorly, so you decided I'm going to do this, and it worked.
Not poorly, just not as well as I wanted.
Your
mouth.
I was watching. You were nothing. Trust me. Yeah, I was watching lots of Jags football back
then.
We didn't have a team, so I was watching a lot of Jags football. So that's number one. I thought, you weren't playing to your standards, so you went and you stumbled upon that. The other thing too is that you get drafted, expansion drafted over to a team that has a strength coach where that's part of his credo. That's what he wants you to do. And it makes me think to myself, like, there's so many variables that go into how good a player can become when they get drafted to a team. Like, did you at that point think, man, if I got drafted onto a team where Dan Riley was my strength coach, who the hell knows what I would be right
well,
now?
Well, there's partly that. Yes. That was huge for me. And then the other part, and this is why I'm always open to when guys get traded, or even if just guys kind of just change something in the routine, that it can have a huge difference. In football, maybe more so than in any other sport, the scheme matters so much. So Dom Capers' scheme when he was in Houston, where he got to run his actual scheme, because he was my defensive coordinator in Jacksonville for a couple of years, but we had personnel for a 4-3 defense, and Dom couldn't really do everything that he would normally do. Mm-hmm. So when we got to Houston, I was a completely different football player in Dom Capers' 3-4 scheme, and I was a much better football player just because it was a better scheme. In some ways, the coach was a better fit for me, the defensive line coach. So I'm always – Titus Howard, he's on the same team but with new coaches, different environment, and I think people are understandably skeptical when they say, really, how much of a difference are we going to see? I'm always very, very open to it. Kenyon Green up in Philadelphia, it might end up being the perfect fit for him up there. Who knows? It's just It does. It matters that much. Just a few of those different variables.
Titus is a great way to bring that back around to the Texans because when they're trading Tunsil and they're cutting Shaq Mason and they're dumping Kenyon Green. I say dumping him. I mean they got C.J. Gardner-Johnson in return, but clearly moving on from Kenyon Green. I think there were a lot of people, myself included, like, okay, why stop there? Like, clearly this was a disaster last year of an offensive line. They see something in Titus Howard. If they want to move on from Titus, they could have moved on from Titus. There's ways to work around the cap when you do those things. Nick obviously sees something in him even before this because he gave him an extension. So there's something there in the eyes of Nick Caserio. And now that D'Amico Ryan's had a couple years to keep eyes on him, I think some of it is they figure he'll maybe – be a little different football-wise with no Laremy Tunsil there is sort of the big influence in the room. And I think, obviously, Titus is a former first-round pick. There's plenty there physically to like. You just got to get it channeled in the right direction, right?
Yeah. And him playing guard and actually latching on and enthusiastically playing guard. Because I think it was always – and that goes back to, man, you know, with the influence of Tunsil, Tunsil was the ultimate business person when it came to getting paid and caring about that kind of stuff, posting about it basically on social media, that there was a part of Titus where it just felt like, man, he's so concerned with getting that offensive tackle money. That's what it seemed like on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Who knows if that's what it seemed like. That now I've been brainwashed by Bill Belichick because I read his book twice last month, but I really understand Belichick's philosophy now of the more you can do, how vital it is to the team success to have as many guys as possible that can play both guard and tackle, or that can play left tackle and right tackle in every single position. Those guys who latch onto that and realize and really understand, oh, my value as a football player is just amplified so much more if I can do multiple things. I think Titus has kind of gotten that into his head, and it's almost like he's become a preacher for it. Whereas before, he would say, no, I'm an offensive tackle, not a guard. It feels like now he's more happy and really embracing the role of, oh, yeah, I'm a guy that can do both. Yep, and I want to be that guy.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, I'm just basing it on a press conference and what we've been observing. It feels like he might end up being a leader in that room, in that offensive line room. So we'll see. Hey, let's skip down. Hey, Ben, let's go to 13 for D'Amico here because I want to make sure we mention Nick Chubb. We haven't talked about him a lot these first couple days of practice, and we probably should for a couple of reasons. One, he's the only guy that's working right now that's got significant carries in the league at running back. You know, Joe Mixon's on the non-football injury list. Damian Pierce is on the PUP list right now. So Nick Chubb is getting all the work with CJ out there with the ones and everything. I want to play D'Amico on Nick Chubb here and get your thoughts on this, Seth. Here is D'Amico Ryans on Nick Chubb so far as a Houston Texan.
Nick is just, I'm only my fourth day with Nick, and he's done everything we've asked him to do. Like, he's a pro. Like, Nick has been the same guy. I've always admired Nick from when he was back at Georgia playing. I mean, always admired him, and it's no different. I can see why the guy's been good in his career. It's because he's a hard worker. He doesn't say much, but he shows you by his actions. Every single day he shows up, he's ready to go. So we'll see how he continues to grow and gel with our guys.
Now, just to be clear, when he says I've only been here 4 days with Nick, he's talking about two mandatory minicamp practices and the two practices so far as of yesterday. He's obviously been in the building for longer than that, but yeah,
right,
four
right.
practices.
Yeah, and I've seen mixed reports about Chubb and how he's looked so far. Because I saw somebody yesterday say he said he looked slow and plodding, and I don't know if I agree with that.
I'm not seeing that.
I think the person that said that may have been referring to last year because he did look slower and plodding as a player coming off that injury last year when he played. He didn't look like the same version of himself.
Yeah, I haven't noticed anything. I don't have a real opinion one way or another on how explosive he's looked because they haven't been doing much. They haven't been doing much that shows you what Nick Chubb looks like in an actual football game yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's all stuff in jerseys and a lot of walkthrough stuff. And the run plays, 11-on-11, in 11-on-11, Seth, you can glean a little bit more in the pass game than you can in the run game just because there's no pads, you know?
The other guy, Juwar Jordan, who's done some good things in camp, I just remember this, that he's smaller than Stephon Diggs. So with Jawar Jordan, you have to take everything, especially in non-padded practices or in training camp in general. You got to take it with a grain of salt. There's some potential there, and it's exciting because he's as fast as a guy needs to be if you're 6 foot tall, 185 pounds, or 5'11", 185. But he's smaller than Stephon Diggs. So yeah. You don't look at him as a guy that's going to be he's certainly not going to be a three-down bell cow type of running back.
He looked good yesterday, though. I mean, yeah. He looked good last year.
Yeah, against vanilla defenses with no pads and everything, that's not an indicator. I'm not saying he can't do it. I just try not to get too excited about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you on that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
And that Payne and Pendergast with you live day three, Texans training camp. Rain coming down slightly harder now. We're working around it. It's all good. So we'll see if the Texans are outdoors or indoors today for practice. Either way, we've got you covered here on Sports Radio 610. Texans Radio will be out here shortly. In the Loop will be here 10 to 2, and they're getting players off the field. Ed Aziz yesterday, Will Anderson Jr. the day before that. They're getting A-listers when it comes to interviews. In the Loop is Reggie Atatula and John Lopez. We did not get to talk, Seth, about Christian Wilkins because that's when the power went out for us during headlines. I think you and I were both probably sitting here talking about it, just not to each other. Christian Wilkins released by the Raiders yesterday, and this is one where I'm like, okay, glad nobody listens to me in the building. That's the guy I was campaigning for heavily during free agency
2 years ago,
2024. Yeah, heading into the 2024 season. Yeah,
he was. He was one of the premier defensive tackles available, and
he's a guy who got signed like 15 minutes into free agency, so right. You know he got paid. Retail plus 25%. He got 4 years, $110 million.
And remember free agency 2 years ago where the Texans would end up being one of the most aggressive teams in the league, especially when you add the trades to it, Joe Mixons and everything. That first day, Christian Wilkins was one of the guys that people were pointing to when they were saying, you got to fire Nick Caserio. You got to fire him. Look, he's not doing a damn thing. Why is he sitting on his hands? Why did he not sign this guy who's going to end up getting a cut a year from now rehabbing his ankle properly?
Yep. It's going to be ugly, man, for Wilkins and the Raiders. I guess a grievance has already been filed by Wilkins, but we'll bring the Texans into this conversation here in just a second. But 4 years, $110 million, it was about $57 million guaranteed. He still had $35 million in guarantees left that they hadn't realized yet. I think a chunk of his salary this year and then his full salary next year, something like that.
Yeah.
The Raiders are trying to claw back that $35 million in guarantees because, as you just pointed out, Seth, they have issues with how he went about the rehab of his foot injury. They, from what I had seen, Ian Rapoport, I saw a report. He said that the team wanted him to get surgery. He didn't want to get surgery. He said, I just want to rehab it. And then they didn't like the way he went about rehabbing it. So they're saying he's in violation of the agreement. Christian Wilkins is going to try to get his money. I'm glad the Texans didn't pay Christian Wilkins $28 million a year. Even if he were good, I'm glad they didn't do that because I like what they ended up doing, which is bringing in Danielle Hunter, trading for Joe Mixon, making some mid-level signings with Azeez Al-Shaair, and we'll see what Denico Autry turns into. But those were the moves they made in that particular offseason. Should the Texans be at least looking into Christian Wilkins right now, Seth?
Oh, yeah, I think they should be, it, just to figure out what went on. Because there's a chance, hey, it might be that – remember when Trent Williams had his issue with the training staff in Washington?
Yeah.
And it's very easy to look at the player and think, oh, boy, that guy just doesn't, he's not, I don't like the cut of his jib. And it very well might well be that, yeah, he had a legitimate gripe against the medical staff there. And he's gone on to remain one of the best offensive tackles in the league for many, many years with San Francisco. So I would have to find out, all right, the Raiders are saying that he didn't handle his rehab properly. Did he have reason to handle his rehab the way he did because the Raiders were mishandling it?
Right.
And if it was the case, then 100% I'd be looking into whether maybe he'd be a good fit.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders have paid the freight for you already. You know, like they've, you know, they, and now we'll see what happens with this guaranteed money. But this we know, Christian Wilkins coming off a year where he got sideways with his employer and has a foot injury, going to be way cheaper than he was when he was a free agent a year ago, and the Texans have a little bit of dry powder. I don't know. Like, I feel 100% confident that this is a move that they're at least running the balance sheet on right now in there. You know, they're running the numbers on, okay, here, what's the injury risk? What's the locker room risk? What's the upside of all this?
You know? It's a classic get him in the building type of scenario.
I
think that I would expect Casario's looking into it, and it's just a matter of, A, what is his actual medical situation, and then, B, what's the money going to be? I mean, Christian Wilkins probably isn't going to go out and play for the minimum this year.
No.
This isn't like a Cam Akers or a Nick Chubb type of situation.
No, it's not. But I guess the question would be, if you're Christian Wilkins or if you're the Texans, I think it was Middle Screen that pointed this out to me yesterday on Twitter, Seth, was, hey, look, try to get your hands on Christian Wilkins if you're the Texans, because if you don't, guess what? He's going to sign a below-market deal with the Ravens or with the Eagles or somebody like that. This is a classic, like, distressed asset that I think would ponder going somewhere where he's got a chance to win. He's been a Dolphin and a Raider his whole career. And he came from Clemson winning national championships. This is a guy who's experienced no important winning in the NFL yet. So that's my question, I guess, about are the Texans an attractive enough team right now? You're obviously doing it much more on spec if you're Christian Wilkins. If you're taking a little bit less because you feel like you can win a Super Bowl there, it's much more on spec for a team that hasn't made it even to a conference title game than teams that have actually won Super Bowls. But I guess that would be the question, would be, okay, the Texans certainly aren't going to pay market value for him if there's a big contract out there for him. Are the Texans a team that would be attractive enough for the two sides to meet in the middle on something? You know?
Yeah, I'm very skeptical that it'll happen, and just especially because the uncertainty of the ankle situation and exactly. But I'd be surprised if it happened. If it did, it'd be cool. But I mean, for the Raiders to just cut ties completely, and that's with Pete Carroll coming in, where Carroll's inclined to. He's a pretty positive guy, you know. And
I hadn't thought about that. That's a great.
He's dealt with guys that are actual headaches on the football field before, but good football players.
Yeah.
That if Pete Carroll's deciding that it's time for him to go, I'm a little bit hesitant to think that, oh yeah, but he's going to be a perfect fit with the Texans.
Do you think Tom Brady had any input on a move like this?
I don't think, for those who don't know, part
owner of the Raiders.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause I've heard varying reports about how the people have overstated exactly how much he's doing with the Raiders. And I'm guessing, no?
I'm guessing no.
I'm guessing Carroll probably is totally on a phone call relationship with Tom Brady, so he might have asked for his input on it philosophically, I suppose.
I'm guessing no. Like, that's that's one of those things that is symptomatic of a dysfunctional organization. If an owner, and especially a minority owner, not even Mark Davis, is coming in and saying, "Hey, this guy's a bad seed, and he's not rehabbing right. Cut this guy." Like that. This feels like a move. Like, let my GM and head coach do their job. And if this is what they determine to be the right thing, look, this is gonna. If they lose the battle over these guarantees, this is one of the more disastrous signings that we've seen over the last few years.
In June, Brady had basically said that they use him as a sounding board, and that's where I could 100% see, you know, Pete Carroll just talking to him about stuff like this.
Sure.
So he might have had input, but I don't. It's definitely not heavy handed. He's available as a resource.
Yep.
He's not getting in there and meddling and necessarily saying, you know, you guys need to do it this way, you need to do it that way.
Yep. All right, final segment for us coming up. We'll hand it over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris as we sit out at a drizzly Methodist training center today for day three of training camp. An icon in the pop culture world passes yesterday, and C.J. Stroud, what did he learn from last year? We will get to all that coming up in the final segment before we hand it off to Texans Training Camp Live. We'll do that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Couple things here. I want to get to C.J. Stroud, but I would be remiss as a lifelong wrestling fan not to mention Hulk Hogan passing away yesterday, Seth. Ron Trevino came out to my apartment building yesterday to chat with me about that for KHOU. I was on KHOU last night in my NWO hoodie talking to Ron Trevino. One pro and me in my NWO hoodie there talking to KHOU about the passing of Hulk Hogan, who is... I think whether you're a wrestling fan or not, undeniably, certainly one of the most iconic figures of like the 80s and 90s. And I think even as far as up until yesterday when he passed away, one of the most recognizable people. Like if you just, the average human being, if you flashed a picture of him up, I think a lot of people would know who Hulk Hogan is.
Yeah. I didn't realize all of the various controversies that he'd gotten into in the last 20 years.
That's what some people. There's a lot of people that only know him for that.
Only know him from the controversy. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't realize he was as much like the Iron Sheik as he was.
He was a little loose-lipped.
He was like the Iron Sheik character a little bit when it came to
And ironically, that's who he beat for the title the first time back in 1984, where he. He basically vanquished the entire country of Iran by pinning the Iron Sheik in Madison Square Garden back in 84.
Yeah. He also beat up Rocky.
He did. That was before. That was in 1982 in Rocky III when he was Thunder Lips in Rocky III. He was, I mean, in 1985, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, that's a pretty big crossover right there. That was when wrestling was going through a huge boom period. And he was the star of it when they went from being like a little, the WWF is a little regional company up in the Northeast, to basically Vince McMahon taking over the entire wrestling world. The catalyst was Hulk Hogan. He was the star of that whole thing. He sold out pay-per-views and he sold out arenas worldwide. And then 10 years later, with a different company, with WCW, he launches another boom with wrestling when he became a bad guy. Like, it was the unthinkable. Hulk Hogan, the ultimate babyface, becomes a bad guy. And then, yeah, later on in his life, a lot of controversy. You know, a sex tape emerged that, without his permission, he sued Gawker, which was the owner of Deadspin at the time, for $115 million and won. He won that lawsuit. And then I think that the other things you're kind of touching on there. Had said some unfortunate things through his last 5 or 10 years with us here. Racial and whatnot. But from an entertainment standpoint, few bigger than Hulk Hogan.
Well, he was also the one that he was the first guy on record that had that ended up saying that wrestling was scripted, right? When they were trying to get it, because they had to make it in a part of a court case to try to make it
Vince,
legal.
That was Vince McMahon.
It was Vince?
Yeah,
okay.
It was Vince McMahon. I'll tell you what, business-wise, what Hulk Hogan is most famous for is that the wrestlers back in the 80s were behind the scenes trying to form a union. And Hulk went and snitched to Vince on the wrestlers trying to form a union. Yeah, that's probably the business thing. Other than the incredible piles of money that he generated, that's probably the controversial business thing that he might be most famous for inside the industry. Is he ratted out Jesse the Body Ventura was the one spearheading the charge to form a union for the wrestlers, and Hulk Hogan ratted them all out to Vince.
That's when I first knew that wrestling was scripted, because in a real world scenario, that Hulk might have ended up at the bottom of a river. And,
right.
go against a union that's organizing for the iron workers or something.
Good luck
with that.
Yep. So that was a big one yesterday. A few people have texted me, who are the guys that are alongside Hulk when it comes to like the biggest stars in the business, like just the biggest generators of business? To me, it's Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and John Cena. Those are the big four. People are going to say The Undertaker, and they're going to say other people. In terms of just sheer pop culture crossover, generating billions of dollars impact, those are the big four.
How did he, what did he die of? Do we know?
Cardiac arrest. Technically was what it was, but he'd been sick for a little while. So his health has been... Look, he lived to 71, which in the conversion chart for wrestlers that came from the steroid era like he did, and he did steroids, 71 is like living to 110.
Well, because it wasn't just steroids. It was steroids and speed and painkillers
Coke
all mixed.
And everything else,
there was just a lot of...
It was a rough
scene back in the day. Yeah, it was a combination of all those things. And that's the day after Ozzy Osbourne had died. Another guy that nobody would have ever expected or anticipated making it to the age of 76.
Yes, his conversion chart, I did it, is 145 years old. He basically lived to be 145,
That tracks. I think that he almost, if you're in your 40s or 50s, and you kind of got to watch, we got to watch it, Sean, you and I got to watch it from like when we were young kids, Ozzy Osbourne was like that scary dude that you'd heard had bit the head off a bat, and that's all you really knew about it.
Yes.
In San Antonio. Yep. And yeah, you knew somebody, you didn't know necessarily Black Sabbath or anything from back in the day. And then, but then you got to watch him transition into a reality TV show star as a guy who kind of shuffled around the house just being cute and adorable and funny and interacting with his kids.
And in commercials, you know, like it's different music genre, but it's a little like kind of like Snoop Dogg in a way. Like Snoop Dogg, when he was in the middle of his music career, if they had told you like, oh, he'd be this cuddly guy who's on all these commercials and everything, and like Ozzy Osbourne similarly is kind of a, you know, he's a pop culture icon for a different reason late in his life.
Peak Ozzy Osbourne for me was him and Lita Ford doing If I Close My Eyes Forever, because that was right back when you might be, you know, recording music videos on VHS and using them later on for whatever, and just like Lita Ford, that was a kind of a pivot point for him in his career.
Yeah. Lita Ford, man, kiss me deadly.
That's why I've remained sexually attracted to Ozzy Osbourne.
It's
kind of this association between them.
Yeah, man, you know, it's big schmoz. You get lost in there, like I know I'm attracted to something here. Let's get to C.J. Stroud. This is C.J. Stroud earlier this week. What did he learn from last year?
There's a bunch of things, but if I can probably narrow it down to one, I would say just, you know, trust the process, you know. It's not about what people think, who people think you are, what they think you are, when they think you should do it. It's all about, you know, your process and how you're going to go about it. And if God's happy, if your teammates are happy, and yourself, I think, like, then you're good. So I think that's trusting the process, whatever that is, if that's good or bad during the time. It's, you know, trusting, you know, what the coaches are doing and everybody around me. So
I think there have been times in the first couple seasons where it just feels like you can almost sense it with in the press conferences or in interviews with C.J. Stroud during the season where it feels a little bit like the weight of the world is on him. And that can sometimes happen to people that you have to learn – early in the NFL that you can't be all things to all people. Yeah. And you got to kind of just dial in and follow the cliches of just, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. Don't worry about what you can't control. Trust the process.
Yeah.
All of that. And they're cliches for a reason. It's because it's true. But it's hard to learn. And the other part about the NFL and for young professional athletes in general, I think there's a big part of just understanding and realizing that you're not – whatever your perceptions are of being a football player is, a lot of that has been shaped by movies and television shows.
Yeah.
And learning, and I could say this for any profession. It's like learning that, oh, wait, that's the movie version of this job.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it actually works.
Yeah.
And this is the stuff that really matters. If you're a fireman or a lawyer or any other, or a cop, any other profession where they make a lot of movies about them, there's a point in your career where you realize, like, oh, wait a second. Okay, the paperwork actually is a big part of this job. Like, if I want to be really good at it, they don't show this in the movies. They just show the renegade cop who's whining about the paperwork and how he never does it, right?
Yep,
if I want to be a good cop, I just don't do the paperwork, right?
That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
You got to file the report. Yep.
Yeah.
You got to file the report.
Riggs never did.
Yeah, I just thinking when I hear CJ say trust the process, like somewhere Sam Hinkie's driving around, the old GM of the Sixers, the advocate of the process, like throwing his coffee at the radio. Like, I trusted the process.
Saban was one of the first guys where it kind of made the process part of the vernacular, like just very much about the process. Another one of CJ's clips, he had just said that, you know, I can't remember I think the question was what his goals were or whatever it was, but his just win every day, win everything.
Yeah.
I've been so brainwashed by Bill Belichick. There was a part in his book where I think he was talking about the hours that he works and how he schedules everything, but he talked about how just everything, he almost approaches everything like it's a game, and it's fun to play games.
Yeah.
So it's just when he's watching film, when he's doing anything during the day, He's gamifying it, and he's approaching it like it's a game, and like, okay, how can I watch film better than the other guys, and what can I find out about this guy? So you get those little victories. It's a lot more fun. For somebody like CJ, I think, who sometimes feels all the weight of the world on his shoulders, there's times where you just got to break it down into like, hey, I'm gonna win this film session.
Yeah.
I'm gonna win this next period at practice, this next play, and you just stack up wins and don't worry about what the actual scoreboard is on any given day or, you know, throughout the season. It's just, okay, I'm gonna win the next rep.
He would be an animal out over at Cidercade where they have all those video games and all the foosball and the pinball machines and the bowling and everything else. Be an animal there, man. Trying to win everything. CJ Stroud. All right, so we got day three of a practice. It is raining out here today. There are drops kind of falling on the table here, so I pray for Mark and John coming up in the next hit here at 8 a.m. But we'll get pads on Monday, so we'll see fans out here and tomorrow, and then the fans on Monday will get a look at players in pads. So we'll have eyes on it for you all camp long, but all day long here today. Keep it tuned. In the Loop, we'll be out here, Reggie Atatula and John Lopez. And hopefully the Astros get a win this weekend, Seth. Win, and so you and I come in on Monday, and we've still got the Mariners at a nice arm's distance from us.
Sean, and don't undersell it. Last year, the Texans' offense was miserable whenever there was any kind of precipitation during training camp. It was you could bet money on it. Oh, it's drizzling. The offense is going to suck today. So if I hear reports, Sean, that it was the best day the offense has ever had, and they did it in a drizzle, I'm going to be over the moon about it. Yeah,
I like
this is
that.
A team that's advanced, damn it.
I love it. I love it. All right, well, good deal. Well, we'll have eyes on it out here. Seth, antibodies to you. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Antibodies to you, Sean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.